Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Part of this month, maybe half of it, was the Jalen Green renaissance. He has come back down to earth. It's three out of the last four where he hasn't shot the ball well. But the back half of the month is Amen Thompson's time. He goes and gets 30-plus against the Celtics last night. Dylan Brooks made 10 threes. He got 30-plus as well. And the Rockets go out to Boston and get a win. They have the Hawks tonight. Try to get the double on the back-to-back, but that's three straight games against the best teams in the East, and they go 3-0. And you would probably say that we haven't experienced this as far as having a good basketball team in this town, at least on the NBA level, for a little bit now. And I'm not sure people know how to act. As soon as the Rockets took down the Celtics, beyond celebrating Amen Thompson, it was about, hey, they can play with anyone, and the playoffs, why can't they be a real contender? Now the numbers will tell you they can. I think Brian Windhorst talked about it on one of his podcasts. I think this was before the Celtics game, about where they rank in certain categories, and it all lines up to be a contender. I'm not there yet, mostly because the history of the NBA suggests we're probably getting ahead of ourselves, particularly if Amen Thompson is now, at least in some people's eyes, your best player. Generally, it's not always the case because those Thunder teams were pretty young with the Westbrook, Durant, and Harden teams. But generally, being led by, I won't call them kids, young men in their early 20s does not make the right recipe for a real title run. But you can only give them credit for what you've seen so far. The playoffs are down the line. Those will be different conversations. So I just want to talk about the team as they are now, not what we think they can become. And they, on a night-to-night basis, go into hostile environments against the best teams of basketball and say, we're not going to back down. The Celtics were up double digits in that fourth quarter, and the Rockets ran them down, which has been the opposite of what has happened, at least with the Cavs. The Rockets were the team who had big leads, and the Cavs were getting back at them, and eventually the Rockets were holding them off. Last night was different. And Jaylen Brown talked about it after the game. He talked about the Rockets players who beat them were the guys they wanted to force to beat them. And he said, hey, credit to them. They did it. Amen Thompson only shot the two threes, but they were leaving him open on the perimeter. He just has this force of will that he's going to get to the bucket when he's not blocking a shot of Drew Holiday and eventually ending that possession, or at least that sequence with the layup himself. He is he's playing great man defense. He is someone where I don't even want to make comparisons. I've said the Sean Marion thing earlier in the show. We played some sound, at least on the previous show, where comparisons were getting thrown out. And I believe Danny Green said he was like Andre Iguodala. At this point, I'm just saying he's Amen Thompson. I don't know what he's going to be. Art, I think he tweeted us and said maybe Scottie Pippen. These are the type of players he's getting compared to in year two. And there are levels to this, like Scottie Pippen, multiple-time champion, Hall of Famer. Andre Iguodala, same as far as the champion. I don't know if he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but he has been like the talk of the NBA. Every time you hear the Rockets being talked about, Amen Thompson is like the first name that the national pundits bring up. Because we've seen enough of Jalen Green, at least I think they have, to know that there are going to be these bursts of brilliance, and then there are going to be times where Jalen Green is a guy we're wondering about as far as what his ceiling can be. And Şengün, who got a lot of love last year, I think that love remains. He hasn't been as good, or at least hasn't taken a next step. I think he's kind of the same player he was last year. But Amen Thompson is the new name and the new face, and he was a big part of winning the game. Of course, having to mention the game winning shot where he kind of discarded Jaylen Brown and floated it in. It was really good possessions late for the Rockets as they were fighting back. And credit to the Celtics for not going away either. But we had the out of bounds play where Ime raised everybody and moved them to one side and allowed Şengün an open pathway off of the Fred VanVleet pass for the dunk, and at that point a 2-point lead. I would say this, Joe Mazzulla, perhaps don't have Luke Kornet in on a defensive possession. Perhaps.
Luke Kornet was on the last three out-of-bounds plays for the Rockets, including the last one where he was on Thompson, and then late, like, wait, what the hell am I doing on Thompson? Switched with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was a little late getting over. But the guy Kornet was switching to was Jalen Green. I was like, how the hell did this happen? Like, what? Why isn't he not on either Şengün or the inbounder? What's happening?
On the Şengün dunk, they had Kristaps Porzingis and then you had Kornet on Şengün. And then on that possession, on the Amen Thompson game winner, Porzingis wasn't out there. It was just Kornet.
They subbed off Porzingis like super late because the first time they're going to take the foul no matter what.
Yeah.
And Porzingis had five fouls, so they got him out there and they never put him back in.
I know Al Horford's older and he didn't. It was a coach's decision for him not to play. I mean, look, the Celtics are a great basketball team. They don't have mobile big men. We know what Kristaps Porzingis is. He's a rim protector and a jump shooter. He's not exactly someone you want out there for foot speed. And they don't have those guys.
No,
and
you can't put these stiffs on Alperen Şengün.
Alperen, big play. His dunk gave the Rockets a 2-point lead, and then credit to Jason Tatum for beating Amen off the dribble to tie it. Then Amen Thompson, as I said, discarded Jalen Green. Or Jaylen Brown, and then knocked in that floater to give the Rockets lead, and then the Celtics desperation shot by Peyton Pritchard, I believe. He misses it. So the Rockets go into Boston, win 114 to 112. They follow that. That follows two wins against the Cavs. And what they did was historic. If you go by one of the sites that does this, they do the research, no team has ever won in a three-game stretch against that type of winning percentages against that type of winning percentages for the other team. You talk about Boston and Cleveland as the best teams in the East. That has never happened before. What the Rockets did, beating that level of team three games in a row. So high times for this team right now, and we'll see. I don't imagine there'll be much of a letdown. This doesn't seem like it's part of this team's DNA, but they do go to Atlanta to face a Hawks team who's not very good, still scrapping for, at least right now, a play-in spot. The, the Hawks are. So there's a chance to put together a four-game winning streak and get to 32-14. They won their game last night. The Grizzlies got taken apart by the Knicks. So while the teams were tied, although the Rockets have the tiebreaker, the Rockets now sit alone at second in the West.
Yes.
So
and first in the Southwest.
Well, yes, because we care about divisions in the NBA. division champions.
Yeah, and they play Memphis on Thursday.
So this was a stretch that people were saying, wow, this would be a real test for this team. And so far, they've passed it. And it's funny because they lose to Detroit the way they did. And you're like, oh, maybe we're in for a bit of a streak, losing streak. And the Rockets said, nah, that Detroit game, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
That was a holiday.
Yeah,
holiday game.
That was MLK Day. I mean, maybe we didn't honor them the way we wanted to. But whatever. We lost. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We're going to be good.
I remember after the first Cleveland game, thinking like, this is huge because Darius Garland meltdown at the free throw line. Did the Rockets were up, 15, 17 in the fourth, let the Cavs all the way back in. And I remember thinking, well, this is at least big to get one, no matter how ugly it is, to salvage at the very least you're going 1-2 on this stretch with road games against the Cavs and the Celtics coming up. Little did I know that they're just going to beat them all and do it very impressively. I mean, we haven't mentioned Dylan Brooks' 10 three-pointers in Boston. Just absolutely crazy stuff. You mentioned the Jaylen Brown quote afterwards. I don't know if Dylan Brooks should be the one that you're like, I want Dylan Brooks to beat us, because Dylan Brooks might beat you, and he'll have so much fun doing it that it'll make you insane.
Well, there is a clip of him knocking down a three in the fourth quarter, and he says something to Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown's just smiling, laughing it off. I mean, I imagine Dylan Brooks says some things very out of pocket. And
yeah. He did a Jameson Williams after a play. He drew an offensive foul, and then he did the Jameson Williams celebration, although kind of reverse.
If you don't know,
Jameson Williams
simulated an act.
On the ground.
Yes, after scoring
hips
a touchdown.
Hips down.
Yes.
Dylan Brooks did it hips up.
Ah. That's what you want, right?
In like the third quarter of a three-point game. Like, yeah. It was crazy.
Okay. I mean, celebrate how you want to celebrate.
I mean, to be fair, at that point he had made 7 threes, so.
And I would say this, and Joe Mazzulla took a lot of blame for not the Dylan Brooks stuff, but just the late game possessions as far as on the defensive end. But sure, your plan is to force guys like Dylan Brooks to beat you, I guess. You don't want Shingun and Jalen Green going off on you. But what, at one point, after he hits like a 6-3, you change your philosophy? Or do you go, well, he's not going to keep making shots. He's Dylan Brooks. Like, how many shots does he have to make before you're like, well, okay, let's change some things up.
We can't let this guy beat us.
Yeah.
I think when he's sitting at 6 or 7 in the third quarter, you're like, all right. We can't have them, because at that point, like, the record, I think, is 13. No, the record's like 15. So record wasn't really in danger, but it's pretty close. You can't have Dylan Brooks break the record against us.
Yeah, not on your home floor. He did tie the Rockets record for most threes, I believe.
That makes sense.
He tied James Harden's record of 10 threes. So Dylan Brooks, he has been that signing. Now you think back two off seasons ago now, it was one where, like, this guy was coming off a bad end in Memphis. If we think back to that time, he was a guy who Memphis let it be known while the season was still going on that they weren't bringing him back. That's where he was. He was ducking the smoke from the media, of all people, because he was the one who went after the Lakers. And then when the Lakers put them to bed, he didn't want to talk to anyone anymore. It was rough. It was rough for Dylan Brooks, and he has been a main contributor to what was a season that at least last year, that put the Rockets in a position where they were no longer this joke. They're at least a team people could take seriously, and now look at him. Beyond just what he did last night, he's been as long as he's healthy, he starts for them, for a team that has gone from one of the worst teams in basketball to, at least right now, one of the best teams in basketball, and they've proven it, particularly over the last three games. So Rockets get a big win in in Boston. But I feel like I'm not tempering expectations. I just don't want to talk about the playoffs and who they could beat because I don't know who. We don't know matchups. We know playoff basketball is different. Just enjoy the 82. And maybe they win 55 games, and that would be great. But as far as, this team could make the Western Conference Finals, I don't know that.
Yeah, that's the conversation you have when it's like your third or fourth season being like this, yeah. Second, third, fourth season being like this. This is the Rockets' first time, and like you said, such a long time, actually being good on a night-to-night basis, being one of the best teams. Enjoy the ride with all the young guys. Enjoy the, oh my God, Amen Thompson. Wait, he's not Andre Iguodala or Andre Kirilenko. He's, I don't know what. He's better than Sean Marion. I mean, this is crazy. Think about the basketball IQ. Think about the athleticism. Shades of LeBron James?
Shades of LeBron James.
I don't know.
Can you put the... Well, we just saw him make a game winner.
Yeah.
Can he be the...
LeBron doesn't have the clutch gene. Amen Thompson does.
Yeah, thanks, Skip Bayless. I will back away from that, mostly because LeBron James was the engine of an offense from the time he walked onto an NBA court. Amen Thompson is I won't say complimentary. He's too good for that. But they are not having him run offense for them on a consistent basis like LeBron had to. He has played great. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't even care to speculate. I'm just going to watch him play.
I think LeBron's the ceiling.
Okay. Depending on who
we
you
might not see it.
Depending on who you ask. Best player of all time.
It feels crazy to say anyone else. It feels crazy.
It feels crazy to say anyone else but like I said, depending on who you ask, the second best player of all time. And then some people think the first.
Feels disrespectful to call him Sean Marion. I don't know.
I'm going to hold off on your proclamations. I'm not rubber stamping them. I'm not agreeing with them. I'm just going to watch the kid play basketball.
Yeah,
he's
Scottie
great.
Pippen.
That's insulting. So only LeBron, right?
Maybe Jordan.
Oh, okay, sure.
Maybe
sure.
Although
now I know who runs Amen Thompson Muse. Sean Mapes. All right, we will continue to talk Rockets because they are a giant story. We'll also get into what felt like a tease. The Bregman stuff felt like a tease, and now we get a report, I think right after this show ended, that the offer from the Astros to Bregman remains the same. And as you can imagine, Bregman's not interested in that contract, just like he wasn't when they offered it to him. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, let's talk about my bookie. That big game is, two Sundays away. But there are other things to take advantage of at MyBookie, whether you are into college basketball. Hell, there was a great game in Tucson. Maybe you had some money down on Caleb Love and the Arizona Wildcats beating Iowa State. I mentioned a random college basketball game. Why? Because MyBookie gives you an option to bet on anything. That's part of the tagline. It doesn't stop at college basketball. It could be international soccer. It could be tennis. It could be boxing. UFC. It's all there for you at mybookie.ag. Use that promo code BET975 and take a look at all they have to offer. And remember this. They have props for the big game. Whether you want to bet on how long the national anthem lasts, will the singer get every word? That's the type of detail they're going for. Anything and everything you can bet on, it's available at MyBookie. Go to that website, mybookie.ag, use promo code BET975, and remember this. They provide a 50% match up to $1,000 when you're on the site, no matter what you're betting on. So remember this. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the talk coming out of the weekend for the Astros and Alex Bregman was, the door's open. We played sound for Dana Brown yesterday. The door's cracked, at least. Ajar, even. You can determine what is more positive to you. Cracked, ajar, whatever. Well, Ari Alexander's reporting that the Astros haven't moved off their original offer, and that is unlikely to get Bregman to sign. So for a better part of what are we talking about now? Since November, this has been Alex Bregman's like, hey, can I get 200? The Astros, you can get 156. Bregman's like, hey, what about 195? The Astros, you can get 156. Maybe 190. You can get 156. This is what this has been. And I kind of believe all the talk from the weekend was Boris and his people trying to drum up some motion for this, for some outside team to say, hey, you know what? I don't want the Astros to get in at a price that we can certainly beat. Let's make an offer. Let's get Bregman. Because I don't know what could have changed other than Bregman deciding, you know what? That offer you gave me that I've said was never good enough, it actually is. Where did the, other than Altuve saying he played left field, and sure, they've mentioned that the Astros and Bregman are talking, what changed, what's happened since November about this? Why is there more conversation about the possibility of him being an Astro again, other than there's no offer out there from anyone else, so we think he might get off what he thinks he's worth and take a deal he thinks is undervaluing him?
That, I think that's it, is that he overvalued his market.
Well, we've seen that. Well, there's other reporting that says he can get more per year from another team, but just not a long-term deal.
Yeah,
so what does he want to take?
That also makes sense why the current offer to Bregman isn't going to get it done, is that he's like, no, give me whatever, 3 years at $30 million instead of 6 years at $26
million. Yeah. So it's been, I don't know how much negotiation there's been, because the Astros are standing firm with an offer that has not been up to snuff for Boris and Bregman. So this is where we are. Now the Astros are in on Polanco, at least they're interested in possibly bringing him in, another infielder, when it feels like maybe go find yourself an outfielder.
Yeah.
If you're not going to sign Bregman, go get yourself an outfielder.
I've been working under the assumption that Bregman, just because it's Bregman, and then we'll figure it out with Altuve in left or whoever needs to play left.
But I'm not signing Polanco to send someone out there.
Just give me a Polanco that plays left field.
Yeah, well, like, get a left field Polanco.
I don't know. Verdugo's still out there. Get him.
Yeah, why are we so locked in on adding? You can't play that many infielders. Someone's got to play out there.
Unless Polanco's going to play out there.
I don't know. He's a second baseman.
So is Altuve. But, I don't know. Credit to the Astros for being interesting, at least.
They are interesting.
Like, it feels like MLB teams, they kind of fall into, like, three buckets of you're the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets. Like, you can spend whatever on anybody. You're going to sign a bunch of guys. Then there's the, I don't know, 25 teams that are just like, we don't do anything. Yeah, there. How do you like that? We're not signing anybody. And then there's like,
true.
And then there's the handful of teams like the Astros that's like, we're going to do stuff, but it's not the stuff you expect.
Yeah.
We're going to do all sorts of stuff.
We're going to do a lot of things.
Stuff you haven't thought about yet.
I mean, things you wouldn't even imagine.
Who would do that?
Even imagined we do. We're going to do them. And then we're going to try to explain ourselves afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a crazy offseason. Signing Christian Walker, trading Kyle Tucker,
trading Ryan Pressly,
maybe bringing back Bregman after all of this. And by the way, you traded Tucker for a pitcher and an infielder who plays either third or first or second. So someone else is going to have to play left field if Bregman comes back.
Yeah, I'm going to need them to stop paying attention to the infield. Unless Bregman's coming back, like you said.
Did they lose track of, they're like, oh, shoot.
The thought of, what is the thought of Trammell and Myers and Chaz, are they comfortable with that? Is that why we're not seeing anything about finding themselves another outfielder?
They should be less comfortable. However comfortable they are, they should be a little bit less comfortable.
Whatever comfort there is, I agree. There should be less of it. It's a very, very soft-hitting outfield right now. And Yordan's going to be the DH, so he'll play in left some, but he'll be the DH. So, Polanco, huh? That's what you're interested in? Great.
All right.
Do what you got to do.
You know, I thought Polanco was just going to be the third base the third base replacement for Bregman. I didn't think that he'd be the left fielder or the second baseman for Altuve, and Altuve is locked in on playing left field.
I don't think we can comprehend what's going on.
I really can't.
In that front office now.
Because Altuve said, I will play left field for Alex Bregman.
He didn't say he'd play it for Polanco.
That's exactly it.
He didn't say, you can move me from second for Polanco. No, you're right. He did not say that. It's for one guy. His guy. Not some former Mariner. What are we doing? So we'll see. But right now, it appears that all that noise from the weekend is just that, where the Astros haven't changed their stance, and neither has Bregman. So where does that leave us? Right back where we were in November, except now there's more information that the rest of baseball doesn't see Bregman the way he sees himself, at least right now.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest change, is that we thought that the Astros offer was a little bit of a lowball offer, and now it seems like, nope, it was kind of on the nose, where some of these other deals, like you said, are higher average but less years. So it's a different version of the same offer that he's getting everywhere else. So
I got a feeling he's playing someplace else. I just do.
Yeah. It really seems like it's up to the Astros. If the Astros want to do the Cody Bellinger style, where it's like $30 million a year, but opt-outs for 3 years. And if this works out, you can be a free agent next year.
Yeah, it might be a point of pride for Bregman at this point that, hey, I think you lowballed me. And unless you're going to change that offer, I'm not coming back here.
But if I'm the Astros, we didn't. We didn't lowball you. All your offers are just as bad.
I'm not saying the Astros are wrong. I'm just saying if you're Bregman, I'm your guy. I've done this for you. And you offered me something below what I deem market value. It turns out the market,
yeah, so did
kind of the market suggests that maybe the Astros weren't wrong.
Yeah, so did the Blue Jays, so did the Red Sox, so did all these.
The Astros are like, hey, why are you mad at us?
Yeah, honestly, it sounds like the Astros are the ones offering them the most guaranteed money. They are offering them $150 million.
Yeah, but it's 26 per year. That's insulting.
Okay.
I can get 30 from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but then after 3 years, you're not going to be making 26.
Still.
Okay.
30.
All right.
Per.
Yeah, I know.
Cubs, too. Allegedly. So there it is.
If it's the Cubs, I would have to tip my cap. Just a great offseason by the Cubs. Hilarious offseason.
Just to say, hey, you know, those guys done a lot of winning down there.
Just get those guys.
Let's bring them.
They're getting rid of who? Yeah. He's good.
Hey, who else do you guys want to get rid of?
Anything?
Just making calls like Astros North, the Cubs. Just
see those pockets, all right? Do you have a McCormick laying around? We're actually going to start him.
Yeah, that guy's not expendable at all. He's one of our core pieces. Chaz out there. Well, who else are you going to play out there besides Chaz? He's gonna get a lot of at-bats.
What's Josh Reddick up to? Can we put him out here?
That is a question. What is Josh Reddick up to? Probably having a great time on Twitter. All right. We will come back with who I think is now my favorite coach in the division. Not in the AL West, in the AFC South. There's a new coach.
Not in the town. Southwest division.
Not that either. There's a new coach in town. Well, in Jacksonville. And he lets you know what county he's in. We'll hear from him when we come back. Hasn't been a lot of change as far as executives or – actually, take that back. Tennessee fired their GM. The Jags got rid of their GM and head coach. The Texans stayed pat, stood pat, and also the Colts did. So two of the teams in the division have made big changes, and we're going to hear from the latest hire from Jacksonville when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. That's the place you go to when you're looking for a great car, whether it be a new, pre-owned, or something from their fleet that you want to add to your fleet. They have the sixth largest fleet dealership in the entire country. So if you got a business and you're looking for something to help your business grow, they've got a vehicle for you. But maybe you're more into something pre-owned. You're not sure. You hear the word pre-owned and you think that means someone had it. Is this car gonna fall apart on me? No, not at Monument Chevrolet. And to put aside some of your worries, they have this, a 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty. So they'll take care of you when you're on the lot and when you drive off that lot too. They'll take care of you into the future. So they got the warranty on the pre-owned vehicles, and also they're still celebrating their 50-year anniversary. That ended in 2024, but they're extending the savings across their inventory up until January 31st. So you still got a couple more days to take advantage and check out what they have to offer from all the great cars at MonumentChevrolet.com. Whether you want a Tahoe or a Silverado or a Trax, they're all there for you at Monument Chevrolet. And, of course, you can go on out there in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Great selection of cars, great people. They are going to treat you like family and get you out of there as quickly as possible because they know you just want to get a car. You don't want to spend all day there. Monument Chevrolet is a place you go to get a great vehicle. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Aaron Glenn had his introductory presser with the New York media, and some reporter asked him about Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron goes like, "You're not going to get me. I'm not going to get involved in the should Aaron Rodgers be here thing," which is reasonable. That was a regular old presser. What Liam Cohen did, now he had his long introductory presser, but I think this should become a part of the show going forward. Anytime we mention Jacksonville, I think Liam Cohen should be a part of the show. Sean, you'll play this and we can decide. Here's Liam Cohen, part of his press conference yesterday after being introduced as the Jags head coach.
Duval.
Well, if the Jags are mentioned, do we play that early and often?
Duval.
I think that's a yes.
I think so. I mean, yes. The one downside is that you won't be able to see the look on his face.
Yeah,
when he
which
makes
is that. Wacky.
I think that's like the worst part.
It's
the look wacky. On
his face. It's very wacky. Now we know it
his eyebrows are moving. It's crazy.
You know, it doesn't really matter what you do in those pressers. You can be Dan Campbell and say something that sets the entire media on fire, and then just be a great head coach. It doesn't matter. But we had Jonathan. Who was the San? Who was the Arizona coach? Was it Gannon?
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon.
People took issue with what he was doing up there. Yeah.
Explosive shots.
Yeah.
There's also Sirianni. Sirianni was like stumbling over his words.
Yes,
that
too.
Oh my God.
And Sirianni's done something that's beyond the fact that he's gone to the Super Bowl for the second time in three seasons. It's that he went to the Super Bowl, lost his coordinators, hired the wrong coordinators, fired them, then hired good coordinators and made it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's tough to do, to clearly see you were wrong. Now, there's some thought in Philly that he didn't have a lot to do with Fangio and Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
That was like a Howie Roseman and ownership thing. Hey, you screwed this up. Because he was like in the wind for – not in the wind, but he was for a week not sure that job was still his.
Yeah, he had like a meeting with the ownership where people didn't know what the meeting – like walking out of the meeting, would he still have a job?
Yeah. And I guess he agreed to whatever they asked of him. And he, yeah.
Yes, sir. Whatever you say.
Whatever.
Vic Fangio? Sure.
Kellen Moore? Sure. And he is supposed to be an offensive guy. And if you're handing it over to Kellen Moore, what exactly are you, I guess, good for? Well, no matter what it is, he's probably for the most part. Well, he's back in the Super Bowl, Chiefs, Eagles in that rematch. So I mentioned the hiring and firing of coordinators because that's what DeMeco Ryans has done. And they are going to, looks like they're going to interview Gerard Johnson, the current quarterback coach. And the big name that people are excited about is Chip Kelly. Well, he's not the only college coach that the Texans are interested in. The Texans are – now, this is bothersome for me because I watched this guy light up a Hurricanes defense. Well, at least he got Kyle McCord to do it. But the Texans are going – at least looks like they're going to talk to a man out of Syracuse. And he has a connection, Chip Kelly, I believe, but Jeff Nixon is the coordinator the Texans are going to interview. That offense was, I think, probably call it just a spread offense with Kyle McCord. Got the ball out quickly. They like to take deep shots. A lot of shots when it comes to go routes and seam routes that they threw. As I said, usually 3 to 4 wide receivers on the field at all times. So how that offense would translate to the NFL, I'm sure there'll be some adjustments, but a lot of people think that CJ would be best in an offense that kind of spreads it out. You look at what the Bengals do with Joe Burrow, where he's the everything for that offense, where he just sit him in the shotgun. He makes a decision where that ball goes, and that's how things run. You just think back to CJ at Ohio State. Now, the difference is you had – future NFL players playing wide receiver for you. Now they were just outclassing who they're going up against. This is a little different. Right now you have Nico. Tank Dell, I think, said he believes he's going to play in 2025. I'm not sure about that. That injury and the subsequent surgeries, that doesn't feel like a guy who's going to be playing in 2025, but let Tank work and see if he can get there. Adding wide receiver helps should be a big, maybe even, I won't say priority one, but it should be a big priority for the Texans this year. They are devoid of wide receiver talent. It's Nico and a bunch of dudes, and Tank's injured. So we'll see where they go. We know Joe Mixon said in his closing media availability that Nick Caserio has something up his sleeve. So we'll see what that is. The speculation for some, because of their connection, is that he meant T. Higgins. We'll see. You pay T. Higgins a lot of money. Your current receiver who's making a lot of money is going to say, hey, excuse me, I'm the number one here, and you're going to pay him more than you pay me? That's the unintended consequences of big salary, talented guys. Someone, Nico feels like a type who won't be a problem per se, but that doesn't mean he believes T. Higgins should be making more than him. If that's the actual answer to the Texans wide receiver problems, I don't know that that's the case. They may go for a less high salary option to help as they hope Tank comes back. Okay, we're way beyond a break. Gerard Johnson or Jeff Nixon? Jeff Nixon, he's been an NFL guy for a while. Before he got to Syracuse, hiring another inexperienced coordinator, can that be done? Because I asked this question, and we'll get to it when we come back. Can DeMeco Ryans survive hiring another subpar coordinator? I feel like you only get one to fire, but you have made the playoffs, so you do have a little leeway. But the biggest threat, I think, the job stability is the fact that you have a young quarterback that people love. You cannot hire a second guy who people don't think, who people believe is not taking advantage of all of CJ's skills. So we'll get to that when we come back. But as I said, we're way beyond a break. But if you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. But first, Sean's going to tell you about PrizePicks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And, of course, we got the big game coming up. The good people over at Prize Picks are giving out a almost free square of Patrick Mahomes to throw for more than one half of a yard. I think he gets there, and if he does, you're on your way to making money pretty easily with the big game coming up. But maybe you don't want to wait another 2 weeks for that game to happen. Good news, they have things, they have sports, they have every sport you could imagine every single night. Basketball, Rockets play the Hawks tonight. Maybe you think Amin Thompson goes over 17 and a half points. He's been averaging like 23 over his last five. It is the second night of back-to-back. Maybe you think Trae Young gets off and shoots, is raining threes and gets 23 and a half points, gets more than that. Maybe you're not interested. Maybe you want college basketball. Maybe you want esports, tennis, soccer, whatever it is. Prize Picks has it. You go to the Prize Picks app, download it, use promo code MAPES on your when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Guess what? You don't even need to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
The Del Olaleo Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olaleo.
Here's some not-so-great news if you're a Cougs fan, football fan. They're losing Zach Etheridge, their DB coach. Looks like he's going to take a job with the University of Miami. Mario Cristobal tends to pick at the Cougs for coaches. Shannon Dawson was one who, depending on who you are, probably a lot of Cougs fans probably didn't miss him very much. There are some questions about his offense. He's done well enough when you have Cam Ward. That helps. And then Etheridge was a player at Auburn, coached at Auburn as well, helped the Cougs have a really good pass defense this year. Willie Fritz will have to replace his DB coach, who I think he just elevated to passing game coordinator. Different title, likely more money. Maybe trying to keep someone from sniping him. Looks like Miami's going to do that. So Willie Fritz needs to make a hire at that spot, which was very productive for the Cougs last year. Let's get to Jerome. He wants to talk Texans wide receivers. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, what's up, Del? Hey, on that guy, I think that's his son-in-law as well, Willie Fritz, if I remember correct. That's leaving to Miami. But I want to get your thoughts on the Texans wide receiver room, right? What do you think about if we propose something to get, lost the guy's name, Wilson from the Jets? Or do you think we should go to the draft? Or I know T. Higgins is going to be paid well, and I know Wilson is a wide receiver one as well, but what do you think about if we try to go after Wilson? I know him and CJ played in Ohio State together. So that's chemistry already built in. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's a bad name. Garrett Wilson didn't seem very happy in New York. Almost made it seem like he was going to go. Didn't like the fact that Devontae Adams was such a focal point once he was acquired by the Jets because of his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Problem with that is, are you willing to give up compensation and then pay him? Like, let's say Garrett Wilson let it be known that he wanted out, and the Jets were willing to, okay, we'll trade you. Starting a new regime, we don't want anyone who doesn't want to be here. What would it take to get Garrett Wilson here? We talking two twos? We talking a one and a four, one and a three? What's it take to get a good receiver who isn't at the level of Devontae Adams when he was traded or Tyreek Hill when he was traded? You're probably looking at least two second-day picks, which is a second and third rounder. Those are the two rounds, but maybe two twos.
I'm thinking
you might think that's too much.
First and a second?
That's a lot. Even Tyreek didn't. Tyreek went for one, and he went for like five picks. I forgot exactly what it was. I think Devontae Adams went for two twos. That's where I came up with that.
Yeah, but Garrett Wilson is also, what, 25? 24.
I'm trying to think when Devontae Adams was traded. From the Packers to the Raiders. How old was he? He was still in his prime.
Yeah, no.
Garrett Wilson is a good player, and I guess if he had better quarterback play throughout his time, maybe we would think of him differently. But he did not have the number. Like, Davante Adams was 30 when he got traded. I think Tyreek might have been around there, too, when he got traded, too. So, yes, these guys are younger, or at least Garrett Wilson will be younger. It's not a bad option. I just don't know if the Texans are looking to devote those type of resources and money to another receiver when they already will tell you they have a one in Nico.
Yeah, because,
are you trading for another number one receiver?
Yeah, because you'd have to immediately pay him too. Devontae from the Packers to the Raiders went for a first and a second.
Okay, a first and a
second. In 2022.
Okay, so it was a one and a two. We're talking at the time
probably top five receiver in the league.
Garrett Wilson, not there yet.
Not there, younger though, but definitely doesn't have the production that that Adams had at the time.
And I'm not trading a first round.
But he pick. Is he turns 25 in July.
I'm not trading a first round pick for a receiver who wears floppy sleeves too. The aesthetics matter to me. I don't want that guy. I'm not giving up a first rounder for the floppy sleeves receiver.
You know what? That's fair. I think that's
look at him. Look at that. Look at that. You saw that jersey this year?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's the first thing you see when you Google his name. It's crazy.
It's an awful look. This ain't 1975, Garrett Wilson. What are you doing out there?
I think it only works if you play for a team that has old looking uniforms.
Well, the Jets have old looking uniforms. They reverted back.
But I think it would look even more ridiculous if he was in modern H-Town blue uniforms.
Yeah, yes.
Like, anything modern looking.
If he came here and he wore those floppy sleeves, it would look terrible. Do you want to see that? You want to see that as your wide receiver? You probably don't care.
I don't, rightfully so.
You shouldn't care.
No, I don't want to see it.
But I don't want to see it. If he comes here, he's got to get the tight sleeves.
Tyreek, going from the Chiefs to the Dolphins, got traded for a first, a second, two fourths, and a sixth.
So five picks.
Yeah.
Got Tyreek there. I think the Chiefs might have given a pick back just to give some balance to the trade.
Yeah.
But Garrett Wilson, multiple picks certainly, and could the Jets pry a one out of some team who wants him? Maybe. Yeah.
First in like a fourth or something. First in a fifth.
Yeah. I probably was wrong to suggest he wouldn't get a first out of a team. It's that plus whatever.
It's also like, we're talking about the Texans. It's the 25th pick in the draft.
Yes, that helps. That helps.
It's
as
not
far
exactly
as,
like
it's not
going,
a killer
yeah.
for I, you if you make that trade.
I guess the what were, oh, I probably should have just left it open, but whatever the Dolphins pick was, I think that was like 28th or something.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was their pick. It might have been someone else's pick at the time. But interesting name. Guy who didn't seem very happy in New York. I just don't believe the Texans are looking to pay him and also give up what it's going to take.
I think we're looking at more of a – they're looking for a complimentary piece or two with the wide receivers, which might be just drafting a guy second day, first or second day, and hoping that you find your own Ladd McConkey.
Yes, because that's the target. Find yourself a Ladd McConkey.
1,200 yards. You saw him in the playoffs.
I did see that. You know, maybe we think of a different Ohio State receiver. What's Emeka Buka going to be up to late in the draft?
Yeah, he's probably going to be right around that late first, second range. So he would be interesting.
Yeah, and of course, maybe Stephon Diggs loved his time here, and everything checks out, and they may give him another short deal to come back. You never know.
Yeah,
we're so far away from the draft. Free agency hits first, so maybe it's not Stephon Diggs. Maybe it's someone else.
I've kind of been talked out of Stephon Diggs.
Who just talked you out of it?
DJ Bienemy. Just because he had this some data where he wasn't clocked as going over like 20 miles per hour the entire year when he was healthy. like including at practices and stuff. And then he was like, so he's also in his 30s and coming off an ACL. It's like, yeah, that's a good point. Good point, DJ. Maybe Stephon coming back isn't as easy as it seems.
Perhaps go in a different direction.
Yeah, and just try to find a different guy.
It's a tough beat for Stephon Diggs. He wanted to get to free agency quicker. That was part of the reason why the contract was changed, and now he's in a really, really tough spot. And yes, Jerome brought up that Zach Etheridge, who appears to be on his way to Miami, is the son-in-law of Willie Fritz. That is the case.
Wow.
That is the case. He
be your own people.
Hey, what's that offer like, Willie? I mean, couldn't even lock him down with the wife and the kid, with the daughter that he's married to, and I think they have a couple of children, at least one. But it looks like Zach Etheridge is on his way to Miami. Just the business of coaching, just how it is. That's the business, man. Doesn't matter who you're related to. What's that money going to look like? And despite things, and hopefully the Cougs are on their way to turning it around under Willie Fritz, prestige matters. And as much as that U has not lived up to past glory, still probably matters a little bit.
Yeah, they're, what, top, I guess they're, what, they finished, 14th?
Yeah, 13th? I think they finished, well, before the bowl, they're 13th. I think Final AP had them at 18th. So the logo still matters, and that one probably, as far as Zach Etheridge is concerned, means more than the Coug, the UH on a helmet or on a T-shirt. So, and then, of course, Miami's not unwilling to pay a lot of money to go to steal a guy away, whether it be a player or a coach. I mean, they took Sam Brown last year. He might have not stayed at Houston, but Sam Brown was a Coug who they grabbed. I mentioned Shannon Dawson, Derek King. Now 3 or 4 years ago, that was not a Cristobal joint. That was a Manny Diaz joint, but it happens. Now you hope with the Cougs being in the Big 12, it happens less, where Power 4 schools can just take your players and take your coaches. But Zach Etheridge looks like he's on his way to Miami. Okay, we are done with hour one. We will get into some of the positive things said about Ahmad Thompson by various national pundits when we come back. Tim Legler has something to say. And then Danny Green has a comparison for Ahmad. We'll see if we agree. We'll play that when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.